From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's selection is entitled Broad Rivers Without Galleys. The text is Isaiah 33, verse 21. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. The Lord will be to us the greatest good, without any of the drawbacks which seem necessarily to attend the best earthly things. If a city is favored with broad rivers, it is liable to be attacked by galleys with oars and other ships of war. But when the Lord represents the abundance of His bounty under this figure, He takes care expressly to shut out the fear which the metaphor might suggest. Blessed be His perfect love. Lord, if Thou send me wealth like broad rivers, do not let the galley with oars come up in the shape of worldliness or pride. If Thou grant me abundant health and happy spirits, do not let the gallant ship of carnal ease come sailing up the flowing flood. If I have success in holy service, broad as the German Rhine, yet let me never find the galley of self-conceit and self-confidence floating on the waves of my usefulness. Should I be so supremely happy as to enjoy the light of Thy countenance year after year, yet let me never despise Thy feeble saints, nor allow the vain notion of my own perfection to sail up the broad rivers of my full assurance. Lord, give me that blessing which maketh rich, and neither addeth sorrow nor aideth sin.
Praise to the Lord.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he proceeds with this study in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is explaining Paul's teaching about justification by faith. The text for the message is chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul cites the example of David, as found in Psalm 32, to emphasize the blessedness of the man who is justified by faith apart from works. Once again, the focus is on the righteousness of Christ, which God imputes to the sinner who repents and trusts in the Savior. The thrust of Paul's argument is that justification refers to the sinner's legal standing before God, not to anything that man has done or can do for himself. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Beauty, Basis, and Blessings of Free Justification.
Watch carefully the terms of verse 7. Because here Paul is defining and describing sin, guilt, ungodliness. Notice the words he uses. He uses the words iniquity, sins, and then in verse 8, sin, in the singular. The word iniquity is in verse 7. Carries the idea of lawlessness. The idea in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew of Psalm 32, and here in the Greek of Romans chapter 4, the idea of both words carries the notion of rebellions. These iniquities are rebellions. They are revoltings against God. You remember how the Lord Jesus in his parable in Luke chapter 19 said something that really expresses the heart of the natural man against God and his Christ? We will not have this man to reign over us. That's the spirit of rebellion. That's the spirit of revolting. That's the idea of these iniquities or lawlessnesses. Now in verse 7, we have also the word sins. This is the word that you've heard preachers say many a time. Carries the idea of missing the mark. And that's true. And I have dealt with this in some detail before, so I'm not going to go into it in detail again tonight. It does mean missing the mark. But I want you to keep something in mind here. When you talk about somebody missing the mark, you have a picture in your mind, say, of a man with a bow and arrow. We'll not talk about guns. But we have somebody aiming at something, and he's trying to hit it. Maybe because he's got bad eyesight or bad equipment or lack of strength or whatever, he doesn't hit it. Missing the mark. He's trying but failing. That is emphatically not the idea in this word. This is not an accidental failure to hit the mark. These rather are acts of willful, criminal refusal of God's standards and replacing God's standards with those of our own invention. That's the idea of missing the mark. It is rebelling and revolting against God who has set the mark. It is rejecting of the standard that God has set, and it is replacing it with one of our own devising. We miss God's mark because we're aiming at something totally different. That's what he's saying. So there's a lawlessness, and then there's a missing of the mark. Then in verse 8, he talks, the last word in the verse is sin. And the singular is distinct from sins. This is sin. And it is translating a word that David used in Psalm 32 that speaks of deliberate turning aside. It's a verb that has the idea of doing something perversely. Doing something wickedly. It carries the notion, quite simply, of doing wrong. Deliberately turning out of the way. Now you put all those three together, and you get a picture of ungodliness and of guilt. Rebelling against God and His law. Men replace both God and His law with themselves and with their own desires, and thus they turn aside wickedly out of the way. Isaiah 53 verse 6 describes the result. Doesn't use the same verb for turning aside deliberately, but it does convey the result. All we like sheep have gone astray, then it says, we have turned everyone to his own way. I like what the American Lutheran commentator Lenski had to say on this. He said, each would be his own God in godlessness and his own law in lawlessness. Anybody who's ever read Lenski would know that he always likes to put things in his own cryptic fashion. What he's saying is this, and it's very true. Men express their godlessness by making themselves their own God. Men express their lawlessness by making themselves their own law. This is the sin. This is the guilt. This is the ungodliness with which justification ultimately has to deal. Now, stop there for a moment. Put those three things together. This is God giving us a picture of human nature in its activities. It's not a flattering picture. And God is not at this point in time. There are other parts of the Bible where He is quite willing to note some things that evil men do under the force of His common grace. He can let evil men do things that are good for society, good even for the church. And God will take note of that. Jehu is an outstanding example. A bad man who did some good things. Necessary things. But in this, God's not interested in saying, now there are some mitigating factors here. There are some things here that soften the image. After all, these people still do this, 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 and this. They're good to cats and dogs. They've opened a children's home. They've done this, they've done that, they've done the other thing. No, no, he's not interested in any of that. He said, look, this is the heart of the matter. This is the heart of the matter. Ungodly. Depraved. This is their wickedness. And I would put it to you that such guilt and ungodliness deserves to be condemned. And there's not a man in the world could ever complain against God for damning him for such sin. And yet we read, having emphasized the awful, vicious, willful, wretched, criminal nature of ungodliness, we read, God justifies the ungodly. Now, understand the full force of that. Here's something that goes deeper than any subjective change of feeling. This goes deeper than us feeling miserable for sin and feeling happy that we're saved. Goes much deeper than any subjective change of feeling. It goes much deeper than even any change of personal character. When we look at a man, all we can see is a change in his behavior or a change in his character. I know men who once were deep into booze and drugs and today they're living clean. I can see the difference and rejoice in the grace of God that has made them different. But this is something that goes much deeper than any change of personal character. This is a statement that describes a radical change in our standing before the holy law of God. Now notice how verse 8 ends up. The Lord will not impute sin, or as David put it, God will not impute iniquity. Now what does this mean? Paul has said what it means. It means he will impute righteousness. I put this together. This is an astonishing statement. Here we have these three words that emphasize the total wickedness of man. His lawlessness. His deliberate perversion in that he misses God's mark and he's aiming for something selfish and wicked. Something totally different. There's a deliberate turning away, a perverse doing of wrong. There's this wickedness that would make himself his own God and his own law. He deserves to be damned. And yet we read, God, the Lord, does not impute this iniquity. But he does impute righteousness. That's the statement. And what a wonder of divine grace. For this is an act that's worthy of God. Only divine wisdom and divine goodness could devise such a plan. Nobody else could think of it. I want you to see this. God declares the ungodly righteous. When we get into the end of chapter 4 and then into chapter 5, we will see more fully how he can do this. For God's not telling any lies here. God's not play acting. He's not pretending. I said a week or two ago, when he says you have perfect righteousness, then there is an objective possession that is really ours. We do have a perfect righteousness. To anticipate, it is the righteousness of Christ's obedience. It's made over to us, but it's ours. Just as our sin became his righteousness becomes ours. God is declaring the ungodly righteous before his judgment bar, and he can do this without compromising his own character and without lowering the standards of his own law. Now mark it well, because here is the beauty of a free justification. people fail to understand this, and so I'm going to labor the point. Some of you may grasp it very easily, but believe me, even in this church tonight, there will be plenty of people, and they will find it very hard to grasp. This addresses our legal standing before God. Now, God does a whole lot more than that when He saves you. Understand this. When God saves you, He regenerates you, He reconciles you, He renews you, He sanctifies you, you can go down the list. This is not the only thing God does. But I want you to understand this. This is fundamental to everything else. Unless the Lord justifies, then there's nothing else He can do to save us. Without this, there's nothing. Understand clearly what I'm saying. This justification, and this comes as always, you see, at heart, everybody's a Roman Catholic in soteriology. That's the doctrine of salvation. Why? Because it's the expression of a depraved human nature. Everybody has a natural propensity to the popish position of salvation or justification by works. That's the way the human heart leans. It's pride, it's ungodliness, leads in that direction. Therefore, it comes as a shock to people when they hear that justification does not describe God's action to make us holy. That's not what it's about. Justification does not describe God's action to make us holy. It is not the action of God in changing us into His image. In justification, the righteousness we receive is imputed, not imparted. It is placed to our account. It is a legal transaction. It is a fundamental alteration in our standing before the law and judgment of a holy God. Justification is not sanctification. Justification is not even an aspect of sanctification. The whole hodgepodge of Roman Catholic theology in this is based on confounding justification with sanctification. We must maintain the distinction. Justification is a legal term. It's a term to do with the law courts of heaven. It defines our change of legal standing before God, who is our righteous judge. And in due course, we will see, as I've said, the ground in which He makes this declaration. We'll see the results that it produces in our lives. But for the moment, I want you just to get the simple beauty of the truth. God justifies the ungodly. God declares the ungodly righteous. That's what Paul's saying.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408, or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.